this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskan. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Voskan provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, Blueberry, and now on Stitcher Radio. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskan, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 301. Wow, what a significant date. Because this podcast is about Armenian Orthodoxy, specifically Armadoxy, the melding of then and now. And I know you're ready, because I'm ready. So let's do it, okay? Get ready, we're taking The Next Step. Oh, I gave you the abbreviated version today, didn't I? Feel like I'm all talked out. Well, I'm getting ready for a trip to the Midwest, getting ready to go out to Chicago for a few days and meeting with some churches out there to talk about domestic violence, to talk about the Dative Outreach Project. And because of that, I've had to get Susie all queued up with the next few Lenten journeys. So I've just been doing podcast after podcast, which has been exciting. I got to tell you, it's very exciting to be over here doing these. No complaints. For me, you know, I mean, I wouldn't mind doing this regularly, like exclusively. It's been so much fun, but very special. This is episode number 301. Significant about that number, of course, is that it was the year in which Armenia accepted Christianity, first official nation, Christian nation, right? 301. 4th century, beginning of the 4th century. But even more significant, think about this, okay, how it falls into place. If you've been following the path to healing, our Lenten journey this year, 2014, look at the numbers that come to play. Today's episode was about the letter A, okay, the 7th letter of the Armenian alphabet, the signifying completion, totality. I mean, it's a hot one, okay? So that was today's Lenten journey. Now, what's significant about that in 301? Well, take a look at 301. It's not a prime number. 301 is divisible by two factors, 7 and 43. Yeah, 7 times 43 is 301, okay? 7, we're talking about the A, Armenia. What is 43? The 4 plus 3. Which makes up the 7. Okay, now I know you're thinking, wow, this guy's really going out on a limb. Okay, but I'm not. Think about the numbers and how they play into the whole thing. And check out today's Lenten journey, because I kind of go into it, not in depth, but I talk about the and the significance it plays within Armadoxy and the appreciation of these numbers. Now, that being said, these past few days. Well, let me back up a little bit, and I'm going to play you a little clip from the Lenten journey in a few minutes, because, you know, I'm on the path to healing myself, and last night we had the Lenten vigil at our St. Peter Church in Glendale, and I've been out of the parish now for 3 weeks on a road to recovery since my surgery. So last night I kind of snuck back in and celebrated that service with my community over there. And I have to tell you, the healing is big, because you do feel that healing is not only what takes place within, but also from without. And so you've got this combination of God and you, of God and physician working together. I shared this with you several years ago when I first went through major surgery a couple of years ago, and my doctor, Dr. Garbedian, he shared some insight with me that I had I've thought about, but it was just so beautifully said. And one of them was that he said that basically the doctors are the arms, are the physicians that work over here. Ultimately, the healer is God. And I think of our prayers in the Armenian Orthodox faith, this physician of the physicians. That's right, the physician himself is a physician, but who is the physician's physician if not God? And this was so profoundly said to me, and perhaps I was a little bit more alert, too, because of my situation. One more thing that he added to that, and I'll never forget this, and he says, remember that God is the author of life. God is the author of life. We are doctors over here. We don't add days to life. What we add is life to those days, basically making sure that that life can become a productive, a beautiful life. It's not, it's only God that adds the days to anyone's life, you know. And very, very well said, very profound. And I take that with me wherever I go, even in my ministry, when I minister to other people. God is the author of life. So over the past few days, what we've been doing on the Lenten journey, the road to healing, we've been talking about God, because we understand that, okay, part of the healing process is from within, and part of it is from without, okay? And it's not this dependence on God, but it's understanding how God works within us and also works with us. Let me explain it this way, okay? You think about You come down with an illness, or you have a difficulty with someone in life. I mean, the illness we're using in the broad sense of the word. It's not just physical illness, it's emotional illness, it's with the addictions, it's with personality issues, things that you just realize. You don't even need a diagnosis. You just realize you are out of sync, okay? So who makes the ultimate choice to being well? Even when Jesus healed people, he went up to people and says, do you want to be well? And you think about that. Well, of course I want to be well. Like, you know, what do you think? I want to just sit here paralyzed? You want me to just sit here blind, deaf? No, of course I want to be healed. But Jesus takes that one step before healing. He asks them. And this is a very important question. Do you want to be healed? In other words, are you ready for it? Are you ready for what's going to happen in a moment? Is your life is going to change? And so this road to healing, which we've been engaged in now, we're at day 11. We've been talking about some of the basic tools that we need to accept the challenge for healing. And of course, when we want God to be a part of that equation, well, what is your idea of God? So we've been talking about that for the last few days in the Lenten journey. And it's interesting how it's unfolding, because we talked about God and its pure idea. And one of the things I did with our listeners was take them on this path and ask them, please put away all preconceptions of God that you have. And I realized this a couple days ago, because I was talking to somebody and we were talking about, well, you know, how do I explain it? And this is somebody who's been on a path herself, has been going through a lot of meditation, prayer, active prayer life in reaching out to people, expressions of faith. And so she's at a different level. And then to explain God to, say, the neophyte, what is that neophyte? Somebody who's just learning, what is that neophyte going to learn about God? Well, don't forget that you next steppers who've been along for the long haul of Armadoxy have a refreshing look at what God is, okay? But you've gotten there because you've had the basics, and you've had even some of those misconceptions. So don't discount the starting points of every people. In other words, you have to start someplace. And so we did that on the Lenten journey. But interesting. I found this is it's interesting for me because in folding this out, I realized that I wasn't putting out the traditional ideas. People come in with the tradition. In fact, up until this point, I haven't even referred to God as a personal, as a person. In other words, there's no pronouns put on God. Okay, it's not a he, not a she. In fact, it's very Armodoxy because in Armenian there is no differentiation. We refer to God as is, an e, na e. It's not a he is, not a she is, na e. It's gender inspecific. Is that the right word? It's not gender delineated. Okay? Very Armodoxy, okay? But we get into a little bit of trouble when we're talking in English because we have to refer to it as he or she. And he usually wins out. So in tomorrow's Lenten journey, it's a basic reading from Sirach. And there will be some gender in there. But it's not that's not the case that we're trying to push, really. We're trying to push that there's different ideas of what God is and to understand God as totality of experience, as perfection. And on the road to that perfection, actually, we're going to be coming up to something very unique and something very, very special. So bear with me for a couple minutes. I'm going to be coming back after the song of the day and sharing that with you as today's message. So you're going to get a couple double doses today of Lenten journey, of healing, and of course, where we are in the Lenten cycle as Armenian Orthodox Christians. A lot of stuff coming up, okay? Let's do a little song right now, and I'll be back in a couple minutes. Here's today's selection. It is like the ballad for the Lenten season. It is Dervohormia, Lord Have Mercy. It's off of a CD called Music of Armenia, Sacred Choral Music, published in 1995. It's a little bit different from what the usual fare. I offer it to you, Dervohormia. Thank you. did woe me. It literally means, Lord, have mercy. I could say it's one of the top 10 of the Armenian church, top 3. People come into the Armenian church, do you sing Der Vormia? Actually, interestingly enough, it was an addition to the divine liturgy of the Armenian church only about a couple hundred years ago. Whereas when you go in an Armenian church and most of the liturgies that you hear, specifically the divine liturgy, it's a compilation of liturgies from throughout the centuries, dating back to the early centuries of Christendom. But this addition was added when there was a lot of persecution against the Armenians, and Der Vormia has found a very unique spot within the divine liturgy, something that people look forward to hearing. It is a time of reflection, as you heard from the song itself, a time to just mellow out and understand that there is really only one thing that you can say to God. This is always interesting to me, especially when I talk with Protestants. It's like, you know, when I'm getting in God's presence on the second coming, I don't know what. Hey, what are you going to say to God when you meet God? When you come face to face, what can you say? Hey, I built an empire. So what? You know, I built the. He's going to say, I built the mountains. I built the beauty of the world. What are you going to say to God? You're going to say, hey, I got a lot of. I did a lot of good things. He's going to say, well, look at all the beauty that I've given you and all the good things I've given you in life. Now, the only thing you can say is really, Lord, have mercy. I came into this world, I tried my best, but it's up to you, it's to your mercy. Der Vormia, Der Vormia is really the answer to God, and it is one of the more sacred selections of the Armenian Church. And I thought it was appropriate, as we are beginning this Lenten season, we're already in the second week of Lent. I hope it's been going well for you. I hope you've been practicing the different traditions of the Armenian Church, and if you haven't had a chance to, it's not too late. There's a lot of explanation. I'll make sure that there's a link on today's show notes. Do check it out. There is the Lenten, what we call the bland page. It's on the internet. No, there's nothing exciting about it. It's just very bland. I believe it's in gray and white. That's how bland that page is. But you'll find there links to everything. You'll find to the original Lenten journey, which is 49 days from the beginning of Lent all the way to Easter, explanations of everything. There's a link to our latest Lenten journey, which is the road to healing. There's link to Armenian recipes, vegan recipes that you can conjure up and get through the Lenten season in a better fashion. And there's, of course, links to just general information and definitions about Lent. So you'll want to check that out right away. Why not? I shared with you a few minutes ago the path we've been taking on this Lenten journey this year and the road to healing, and the idea of God. What is God for all of us? It has different meanings. I think one of the things that we have rejected long ago, but still in people's mind, is this idea that he is the ultimate chess player up in heaven, that he sits there and he kind of figures out that, you know, well, he's got a few pawns and they're dispensable. There are certain people who become kings and queens and rooks and bishops, and these are the elite bourgeois, that somehow need to be spared and saved. Of course, ultimately, we have to save the king, but it's okay if you get rid of some of the pawns. It's okay if along the way a rook or a bishop, okay, maybe, but the queen, pretty valuable, but ultimately save the king. And so we think of God in this sense too. The ultimate chess player, okay, that, you know, you're standing over there, well, you're dispensable. So if you've got cancer, that's fine. You don't need to be saved right now, but maybe there's a reason for you, so we'll save you for a few minutes, we'll save you for a few hours, a few months, maybe a few years, because you may be needed in someone else's plot, but ultimately, you know, you're dispensable. Or you're over there and you're having a really rough time with your finances, and there's really no reason to hang on to hang on to you any longer. We get this idea. I mean, it's very common. It's a childish idea, I know. But trust me, a lot of people still harbor this idea because when it comes down to it, when people are having rough times, what do? They say, okay, well, I need to pray. I need for God's assistance and God's help. And we all do this. Okay, I've shared with you in the past this notion of there are no atheists in foxholes. When the things are really bad, when somebody's shooting at you, you get in that foxhole, you believe with all your heart, mind, and soul that there's a way of getting out. And you're hoping that it's somebody from the outside who's going to pull you out. Hoping that it might even be something unrealistic, unexpected, beyond logic. It may be the God force. And you pray, and you pray. And so during the last few days of the Lenten journey, we've been sharing this idea, well, what is God? What is God to you? And as we're seeing from different sources, specifically in Armodoxy, as we understand God as totality, as completeness, specifically, I shared with you, actually, that's coming up tomorrow. I shared with you the Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Let's see if we can cue it up. Like I said, I've been sitting around getting ready for going out to Chicago and doing all these things. Let's see. Would you like a sneak preview? Can we get that, Ken? Yeah, okay. How about a sneak preview, okay? I'm going to give you tomorrow's Lenten journey. Okay, check this out. It's Alexander Solzhenitsyn, one of the most beautiful and treasured pieces that he's written in my life that I love. I want to share it with you, okay? Hang on. The Road to Healing, Day 12 of the Lenten Journey. Beauty. How big is God? How big does God have to be to work the miracle for your healing? The miracle for your reconciliation? The miracle for your recovery? We continue on the topic we introduced yesterday on Day 11 of the journey. We meditate on the I Am. And discover it's not about might or size, but I Am is about beauty. Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a historian, a Russian novelist, and a tireless critic of Soviet totalitarianism. His writings and life targeted huge and giant problems. One of his essays is a short piece where he identifies God without a mention of his name, his might, or his size. Rather, he points to the beauty that is beyond all understanding. And there, we find God. The writing is called The Duckling. A little yellow duckling flopping comically on its white belly in the wet grass and scarcely able to stand on its thin, feeble legs, runs in front of me and quacks, "Where's my mommy? Where's my family?" He has no mommy because he has been fostered by a hen. Duck eggs were put in her nest. She sat on them and hatched them with her own. To shelter them from the bad weather, their home, an upturned basket without a bottom has been moved into a shed and covered with sacking. They're all in there. But this one is lost. "Come on in, little thing. Let me take you in my hand." What keeps it alive? It weighs nothing. Its little black eyes are like beads. Its feet are like sparrow's feet. The slightest squeeze and it would be no more. Yet it is warm with life. Its little beak is pale pink and slightly spayed, like a manicured fingernail. Its feet are already webbed. There is yellow among its feathers, and its downy wings are starting to protrude. Its personality already sets it apart from its foster brothers. And we men will soon be flying to Venus. If we pooled our efforts, we could plow up the whole world in 20 minutes. Yet with all our atomic might, we shall never, never be able to make this feeble speck of a yellow duckling in a test tube. Even if we were given the feathers and the bones, we could never put such a creature together. This piece of writing comes to us from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. On the road to healing, we have stumbled upon something so great, so simple, and so beautiful. How big does God have to be to work the miracles for your healing? The miracle for your reconciliation. The miracle for your recovery. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us tomorrow as we continue to walk on the road to healing. Yeah, I ran across this back in the 70s when I was in college. And we were reading Solzhenitsyn, who was a very big critic of the Soviet Union, and specifically the Gulag volumes that he had written, A Cappella. And I was very into him. In fact, so much so that last night when I remembered this piece, I went out and pulled out that volume. I'm taking it with me on my trip. I want to read it again. It was a very, very well done piece. But here's the thing. Solzhenitsyn, big critic of the Soviet Union. You look at Soviet Union, this massive, massive, huge empire, which Ronald Reagan called the evil empire. Do you remember those days? Some of you do. Some of you probably don't even know who Ronald Reagan is. Tragically, some people don't even know what a Soviet Union is. Yes, it collapsed about 21 years ago. And anyway, Solzhenitsyn, a big, big critic of the Soviet Union, and ultimately the empire did crumble. And this was noted for its views on atheism. And here you heard this beautiful piece about the duckling. And what's interesting is that he doesn't refer to God. But you understand it, don't you? He doesn't say God created the duckling. He doesn't say, hey, look at the poor duckling, and why is God weeping, and he did this or he did that. No, no, no. It's just so well done, because you understand at the end of it, it's just a matter of simple logic. We can, if we wanted to, we could plow up the whole earth if we wanted to. We have that kind of power. And yet, even if you had the bones and the feathers and the blood of that small little duckling, put it in a test tube, you still couldn't get a duckling. Okay, there's something about that. So this is what we talk about, God being something greater than our understanding, greater than our comprehension. And so during the Lenten journey, the last few days we've been talking about, now we come to Sunday, and I'll only give you a sneak preview. I won't play it for you. But Sunday in the Armenian Church and Armenian Orthodoxy, is this particular Sunday is known as the Sunday of the Prodigal. And the prodigal son, I firmly believe that if there was no other thing left, no other message left to us from Jesus Christ, that is, if nothing else was ever written in the gospel except for this one parable, this parable would have been enough to explain the power of what Christ was teaching. Really, I believe that it, let's suppose the Bible didn't get to us today, but just this one parable got to us, it would express what Jesus Christ was all about. Now the story, in case you don't know, it comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. It's about two sons, and one's the younger son who decides, hey, Pop, I want my inheritance. Give me what is due to me, because, hey, I don't want to hang out with you anymore. I want to go out and explore the world. And I think we've all felt that at some point in our lives, or we still feel that, right? I want to go out there and explore. I want to see what's going on in the world. And so the dad gives him his inheritance, and he's out there. He's out there partying, enjoying. And guess what? He's got a lot of friends, and life looks really, really good until his money runs out. And there's nothing left. No friends, even. They're all gone. They're not even around. And he comes to his senses when he's at the bottom of the barrel. Here we go again, right? We're talking about, when do you pray? When you're at the bottom of the barrel, he realizes it. Hey, wait a minute. What am I doing here? In fact, at one point it says in the story, he was so hungry, he hadn't eaten for days, that he looks over and he sees what the slop that the pigs are eating, and that even looked good to him. And it's at that point he realizes, hey, I've got to change my act. I've got to get out of here. But he's too embarrassed to go back to the dad. And he says, you know what? The servants at my dad's home, the people who work for my dad, his employees, live better than I do. He says, I know what I'm going to do. He says, I'm going to go back and just beg my dad to take me on as an employee, as a servant. He's going to just say, I'm sorry. Forget about me being your son. I just want to come back and just take me on as your servant. At least I'll have a roof over my head. At least I'll be eating. And as he's going home, as he's returning home, guess what? The dad sees him on the road. Now, this is where the story gets really exciting, okay? Because the dad, instead of waiting for the son to come home and go through all that, the dad runs out to him. The dad just gets out of his house and he goes, runs over to him, and he embraces him. He hugs him. He kisses his son. And the son starts saying, Dad, I'm sorry I did this to you. I'm really sorry, and just take me on as a servant. Dad doesn't even listen to that. He goes over and he calls his employees. He says, you know what? Let's throw the biggest party this town has ever seen. Go out there and buy the foods. Here's the card, here's the money, go out there and let's throw an incredible party. Get the best food you can out there. Then he goes out and tells his other employees, you know, get some clothes on this guy and bring out the ring. Now the ring is important. Why? Because the ring is that the sign of the family. In other words, the dad takes him back completely, totally. Not just as a servant, but takes him on completely as the family member that he is. And as if an explanation, the dad turns to the people. He says, you know, I'm going to celebrate tonight because my son, he was lost and he is found. In other words, he was dead, but now he is alive. This has to be one of the most beautiful stories in the entire scripture. And like I said, if you didn't get any Bible, but just got this one story, you would understand the message that Christ brought. It's about ultimate forgiveness, ultimate expression of love. You don't hold grudges. You don't hold on to the past. Look what the Father does. That's the kind of God that we have. We've talked about God in many different ways. And on the Lenten journey too, we analyze God. What is God? But ultimately, it's the picture that Jesus gives us of what God is all about. He does not wait for you to come and beg to come back. He just wants to know in your heart you're ready to come back. He wants to know in your heart you're ready to come back. Because all of it is yours anyway. He's not waiting for you to come and say, please, I'm sorry. Look at, no, God is beyond that. He knows you're sorry. Look, you've had the best. Why would you want to eat what the pigs are eating? And that's where you are right now. That's where we all are. We're eating what the pigs are having when instead we should be enjoying what God has prepared for us. And that's all he wants. He wants you to be cognizant of this. Do you remember we started off earlier when I said, do you want to be healed? You want to be healed? Okay. Then stop eating what the pigs are eating. Get out there. Eat the good food. Eat the real treasure. Have the treasure. And look what the father does. He doesn't wait for the kid to come and say, oh, Dad, I'm sorry. And then the father says, well, hey, I told you so. And okay, let's see how much you can sweat. Let's see how you're going to crawl back to me. No, the father's not even interested in that. It's his flesh and bone. It's himself that he sees down there. He says, come to me. This is what Jesus is telling us. We beat ourselves up. God doesn't beat us. He just wants to know you want to come back. You want to be part of that. You want to be part of that family. And in that wanting, the door opens up. The opportunity opens up. This is the story of the prodigal son. For me, it was very special because in this healing process, it is like the last day that we're talking about the different attributes of God and different understanding. Perhaps this understanding is the one that not too many people will cling to. Unfortunately, people want that old man mentality. God's in the clouds, and he's just sitting there waiting for you to do something wrong, and then he's got a thunderbolt ready to throw at you and knock you off your feet. And you know what? When you say, I'm sorry, he's going to want you to sweat it, and he's going to want you to just take your nose and shove it in there. No. That's not what Jesus teaches. In fact, it's far from the vengeful God that we see in the Old Testament. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago I was sharing with you this insight that why is it that Christians get a bad rap? The Old Testament is Jewish folklore. It comes to you. There's nothing salvific in it. In other words, if you read the Old Testament beginning to the end, there's no salvation for you. It's a lot of good stories. It's a lot of expressions of kindness, a lot of expressions of greed, a lot of expressions of anger, a lot of expressions of death, and a lot of myth, too. But when you read the New Testament, there's a new word that comes out. It's love. And love has as its components compassion, forgiveness, and sharing. This is the story of the prodigal son that I shared with you. It's part of the Lenten journey. There is another part to the prodigal son. It's the story of the second son. And that's a story in itself. It's this son who was lost also had another brother. Who's doing everything right? He was the good son. He took good care of everything the father had given him. And he was jealous. He says, wait a minute. I've done everything right. And look, you've never even offered a small little get-together with my friends. But your other son, look at him. He goes and he squanders everything that you've given him. He goes and wastes everything on reckless living. With women and drugs and beer and alcohol. But me, I've been faithful. Yet you didn't even applaud me. You didn't even say, you threw a big party for this guy, but for me, you didn't even say, hey, let's go have some hot dogs and hamburgers. And the father looks at him and says, why are you upset? Everything that I have is already yours. Everything. Is there anything that you need in life? It's really the message that comes to all of us who a lot of times feel like we've been gypped, jilted out of the bigness. Like, how come other people get it? You already have everything. What else do you want? But your brother, he says, he was lost. Now he's found. He was actually dead. And now he's alive. That's what we celebrate. The story of the prodigal son. An incredible story that comes to us from our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to read it, it's in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. Read it. And keep it, more than reading it, keep it in your heart as the message of what God is all about and who we are in the grand scheme of things, in the passion play. You want to believe in that small little chess game that's being played and you're the pawns? It's not a Christian idea. You're not a pawn. You're part of God. And he's a part of you. You're not a pawn. You're the king. And everything is done to save you. Here's Susie to tell you what we're up to over here at Epostle. I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Susie. And an important reminder, as you know what we're doing here at ePostle, really, I've been so overwhelmed by the support and love that we've received over the past few weeks, especially since we started our newest podcast. And you know, it's one of the many podcasts that we put together, many one of the programming that we do. If you've been following Anush's Inside the Pomegranate, you know that there's a lot of stuff that's going on as far as feeding the homeless and sharing with the homeless. One that's been on hiatus for a while, of course, is Linda's Compass. We're hoping that there's going to be some time. Just incredibly packed schedules make a lot of these difficult to produce, but it is all the programming that we throw out there, not only the Next Step, the London Journeys, the videos that we have for you. It's really getting the message of Armenian Orthodoxy polished up for today, Armodoxy, out to the people. You Next Steppers know what we're talking about over here, and really one of the biggest encouragements that you could give us is sharing the Next Step, talking about it, forming areas where people can talk about it. Susie just told me yesterday, I believe she received a email from an Episcopal priest or someone from the Episcopal tradition looking for the Next Step. I guess a few of them had been misplaced or... What was it? Oh, yeah. Okay. The app wasn't picking it up, or Stitcher Radio wasn't picking it up. And so she did some finagling, and it works. You know, it's working. But what I'm saying is that there's so many places that we never thought we'd be listened to. And all of a sudden, through this magic of technology and the internet, Next Step has become really a means by which people can really relate to faith, to Christianity. Armenian Christianity, Orthodox, Armenian Orthodox Christianity is the oldest form of Christianity in the world. And unfortunately, it hasn't been heard of. People haven't heard. They haven't listened to it. Because, you know, there's a small little group of people. And so what we're doing out here is really bringing it to the people. Telling people this is what the faith is. It's not about all this negativity that you hear out there. It's not about all this prejudice about God hates these type of people and doesn't like these, but likes this one, and this is the chosen, and this isn't the unchosen. No, it's nothing like that. In fact, it's such a strong faith that it has kept a group of people alive, despite difficulties, despite persecution. So if you're on the bandwagon, you want to get involved with us, Susie told you how. Get on our website. Drop us a line. You can donate, hitting the donate button. Drop us a line and send in a donation. It all goes to the St. Peter Armenian Church and Youth Ministry Center in Glendale. That's, you know what, I'm going to give you an address. You feel like throwing a check in the mail? 632 West Stocker Street, Glendale, California, 91202 in the United States of America. Do put in the memo that this is for ePostle Ministry. It's part of the many ministries that we have through the In His Shoes mission, including the dot of outreach. Hey, I got to tell you, I'm going to be out in Chicago and the Midwest tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to it. I hope those of you who listen out in the Midwest will definitely stop by and say hello. I'm going to be at the St. John Armenian Church. Let's see if we can get up a thing. Okay, it's going to be at 7825 West Layton Avenue in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm going to be there this weekend to talk about the DOTEV outreach and about domestic violence. And this is with the participation. Let me throw out some names. So if you're in these areas, it's your church as well. St. George Armenian Church in Waukegan, Illinois. St. Gregory the Illuminator Armenian Church in Chicago, Illinois. Holy Resurrection Armenian Church in Milwaukee. St. James Armenian Apostolic Church in Evanston, Illinois, St. Joachim and Anna Armenian Apostolic Church in Palos Heights, Illinois, and the St. Mesrop Armenian Apostolic Church in Racine, Wisconsin, which I had a privilege of going just a couple years ago. I was over there and just treated to some incredible pizza in Racine, Wisconsin. Never had a pizza like that, okay? Wisconsin. I guess it's the cheese, right? The dairy farm. Anyway, we are at the end of today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. Hey, get on ePostle.net, see all of our great programming, and get tuned in. So with that being said, I look forward to seeing you out there in the Midwest this week. Otherwise, here at ePostle, and of course, next week, for the beautiful team that put together today's show, for Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, Vahir, our webman. This is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed and been blessed by this edition of The Next Step with Father Voskin. We invite you to join us every week for our regular broadcast. This, as well as all other episodes of The Next Step, are available for streaming and download at epostle.net. In addition, you can stream, download, or subscribe at Apple's iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio, or try our smartphone app. New episodes are available globally every Thursday. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. We invite you to point your web browser to epostle.net, where you can enter your email address to have The Next Step delivered directly to your inbox. For the production crew and all the members of In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.